2017 was the warmest year on record in Phoenix, and so far in the new year, we've seen high temperatures in the mid to upper 70s. Meanwhile, on the East Coast, high temps have been below freezing for much of the month. It's in this context that ASU and the University of Buffalo are teaming up to study how extreme weather impacts American cities, both on the hot and cold side of the spectrum. To talk more about this research, I'm joined by Nick Rakovich, an assistant professor in the Department of Architecture at the University of Buffalo, and Paul Cascio, an assistant professor of landscape architecture at the Design School at ASU. And Paul, let me start with you. Can you describe this work that you're doing? Like, what are you looking at and what exactly are you trying to figure out?
Sure. The name of the project is Building Capacity for Smart and Connected Management of Thermal Extremes. And really what that means is working with cities, integrating different disciplinary perspectives to understand how we might manage temperature in cities. And, you know, thinking about our current state where we have record low temperatures in the Northeast currently starting out this new year, with lots of impacts for people living there and impacts in terms of the hot side in Phoenix. We're really trying to work with both Tempe and the city of Buffalo to understand from decision makers' point of view and also practitioners, what are the most relevant research questions? A key part of this type of research that we're doing is to understand the socially relevant questions that we need to be asking as researchers as we move toward more smart cities.
Nick, to you, what is the benefit of having a really cold, snowy city like Buffalo and a really hot, sunny city like Phoenix working on this together?
When you look at the city of Buffalo, New York, one of the things we, I think, do relatively well is start to deal with things on the cold side. On the flip side, though, we actually don't have a lot of air conditioning in houses in Western New York. And so as we look to the future with climate change, you know, there's a real concern that as we have higher heat days, days over 90, which I know is not hot for Phoenix, but it's hot for Western New York, you know, how do we start to prepare for that? So by linking up Phoenix and linking up Buffalo, you know, as we've seen, we've had some extreme cold days this winter that have been an anomaly across the U.S. You know, maybe Buffalo has some answers that can help to bear on those issues. And certainly the flip side for Phoenix, where you guys know heat probably better than any other place in the United States.
Do either of you think that there are particular solutions in one city that could be specifically relevant to the other? Like, Paul, are there things that Phoenix does to try to cool things off that Buffalo could be doing the exact same thing for its summers?
Yes, I think there are many lessons already learned here in Phoenix. And so I think one of the things that we're trying to look for in terms of coupling both Buffalo and Tempe is to really understand how the cold side should be handled in a more explicit way. And in both sides, because really what we're thinking about is that cities should be managing their temperatures maybe much like they've already done for stormwater and other environmental issues to increase their thermally comfortable zones.
Nick, obviously some of the issues that each city faces are different. I mean, Phoenix will probably never have to worry about roofs collapsing because of too much snow on top of them, for example. But it seems to me that there are some issues in terms of building design and building materials that might be relevant to both cities. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. So if you think about where we spend 90% of our time, it is indoors. So understanding how our buildings begin to respond to these thermal extremes is a really important issue that we're hoping to tackle. There are things that we do in both cities in terms of adding insulation or putting in higher quality windows or upgrading our heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems that can have really positive impacts both on energy performance, but also on how they perform in extreme situations. So, you know, looking at those programs, we call it weatherization in Western New York. You know, looking at what that might do to help get through some of the cold snaps or to get through some of the heat waves, I think is a really interesting thing that we're excited to be investigating.
We hear so much about the concept of resiliency when it comes, especially when it comes to cities and dealing with climate change and dealing with extreme weather events. It seems like this really plays into that whole broad theme.
Yes,
absolutely.
And in fact, the folks from Tempe in particular, the officials that we're working with closely are really trying to understand how the work that we're doing can complement their resiliency plans that they have already in progress.
And the same here. You know, I think for us here, a couple of years ago, we had Snowvember where some of our neighborhoods here got over 7 feet of snow. you know, that really started to bring home the issue of climate change and what might that might mean in the Great Lakes region. And so we've been at the university trying to get folks tied into some of the other cities in the region to see their work. And, you know, linking this up and learning from each other, I think, is a really important outcome of the project.
Nick, what are some of the practical things that residents of either of these cities, or frankly any city that does some of these things, might see down the road as far as steps that cities might take to make themselves more climate resilient or try to deal with the extreme climate or extreme weather events on either the cold or hot side?
Sure. So I think you have to take each of these things on a bit of a case-by-case basis. But in general, you know, where we live in the Great Lakes region, we're expecting to see a lot more intense rainfall coming in the 1 to 2 inch per hour kind of storm events. So City of Buffalo and Erie County has been looking quite a bit at trying to include green infrastructure to soak up some of that water from these intense events. But there's a nice side effect of that, that it also reduces the overall temperatures outside and the urban heat island effect. So finding those solutions that have, you know, multiple benefits are really something that, you know, we want to investigate, and also that we want to see how cities are doing this across the United States so that there's kind of a list of best practices that people might start to draw from.
Paul, that sounds like something that might be of benefit here, especially during summer monsoons when a lot of rain falls in a short amount of time, and also try to reduce the urban heat island effect.
Mm-hmm. Yes, most definitely. There are a lot of folks that are working in the Valley actively on trying to couple green infrastructure or urban greening or urban forestry activities with other things that are associated with heat. And I think part of this research is also to engage with the cities to understand how we can, through a smart cities approach where you have weather data collection and other types of things, how to actually quantify some of the impacts of those types of designs so that we understand if you plant 100 trees, how much the temperature may be reduced.
I'm curious how each of you think the fact that these two cities, which are at basic climatic opposites of each other, are working together, how does that maybe help amplify the research that you find? Because I think, Nick, for example, those of us in Phoenix have a difficult time thinking of climate change as being really, really cold. And I'm guessing people in Buffalo right about now wouldn't object to an almost 80-degree day in the middle of January. So I'm wondering if the fact that both of these cities are working together on this, does that sort of help give maybe a little more credence to what you find and some of the recommendations that you ultimately come up with?
I hope so. I mean, I hope by looking at some of the extremes, we're better able to prepare for everything in between. And people, I agree, certainly people don't think about climate change as being something where we're going to have a lot colder weather. But as we see changes in Arctic sea ice and some of those weather patterns, we certainly have those possibilities of things we've had like last week.
Paul?
Yeah, so one of the purposes of this grant is to start the process of working with cities on this kind of issue. And so we see this as just the beginning of a much longer relationship between Tempe and Buffalo and potentially other cities that can come together to create an intercity network to tackle these issues.
Yeah, Paul, Nick had mentioned that, you know, looking at the extremes and maybe trying to help some of those cities in between as well. Is that ultimately a goal that, let's say, a place like San Diego, where the weather is mm-hmm. pretty consistent year-round, are there maybe lessons that a place like that could draw from what the two extremes are coming up with?
Yes, absolutely. And I think even more as we move toward this idea of a smart city, it could have implications for environmental issues outside of temperature management. And so I think we're cognizant of the fact that this potentially could have lessons learned for other ways to integrate technology and city management.
All right. Paul, Nick, thanks a lot for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Paul Cascio is an assistant professor of landscape architecture at the Design School at ASU. Nick Rakovich is an assistant professor in the Department of Architecture at the University of Buffalo. They're each part of a team looking into the impacts of cold and heat in Buffalo and the Phoenix metro area and how extreme weather impacts American cities.